of worship. Two scripture verses this morning, 1 Corinthians 11 and Galatians 2. We're very familiar with both, I'm sure. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Thank you, Lord. That you were crucified for us. Thank you, Lord. May we realize that we have been crucified with you and everything that means. Thank you, Lord, for giving of your precious body and blood. May we indeed remember. May we indeed, as we celebrate the Lord's Supper, do this in remembrance of you and understand what it means. Bless us today, Lord, so that we may leave here different than the way we came, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On December 7th, 1941, 350 Japanese warplanes flew over the island of Oahu and rained down death and destruction on Pearl Harbor. 8 battleships were destroyed. 10 smaller warships were also destroyed. 200 American planes were destroyed. Over 3,500 servicemen were killed. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt called that day a day of infamy. And the battle cry went out, "Remember Pearl Harbor," as we went into World War II. Well, with the Lord's Supper, we're called to remembrance. It's not a battle cry as such, but we are called to remember this greatest event perhaps in all of history. And so this morning, I want to talk about what does that mean when Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So I'm going to ask you to take this sheet, turn it over, and take some notes this morning as we talk about this. "Do this in remembrance of me," Jesus said. The first thing we'll do with this is to remember the past. Whenever the Jewish people celebrated the Passover, as you know, or hopefully you know, what was done is the story of the original Passover was told and repeated again. It was passed on down from generation to generation. Last week we talked about the Shema in Deuteronomy 6 and how we're to be teaching our children when they rise, when they sit, when they lie down, all the time. All the time. You will see this every so often in Scripture, going back and looking at the past so that the people will not forget what God has done. It is very possible to celebrate the Lord's Supper and do so mechanically without much thought to it. We never want to do that. And so this is the reason why today, talking about do this in remembrance of me. The rabbis used to say, in every generation, a man must so regard himself as if he came forth himself out of Egypt. Each person was to look at himself as if he were in bondage and had been set free out of that bondage, out of Egypt. When Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me," he meant that we were to remember the past as if we were there ourselves. Remember it in a way as if we were there. We're not just part of the story, we're in the story. We're not just bit players in the story. Because if we were bit players in the story, Jesus wouldn't have had to have done what he did. The fact that he gave his life means we're major players. We caused this. We caused this. You caused this. You caused this. I caused that. So we're major players in this story. We're in the story. Galatians 2:20, the NIV says, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. We all know that Christ was crucified, but Paul is saying, I was crucified with him. Have been crucified in the Greek is in the perfect tense. And this is what that means. It's action that was completed in the past. It's completed action. It was done. It was completed back then, 2,000 years ago. This is the old Steve without Christ. I don't want to know him. Lou, is Lou here or is he out? He's not here today. Where is that Lou? Bob's here. Bob, do you know that guy? This is the old Steve without Christ. Steve, however, is dead. That Steve is dead. Hopefully, if you're a Christian, that old you is dead. You know why? Because you were crucified with Christ. I have been crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20 says. I was there with Christ. That's what is being said. I was crucified with him. I was there. I was there at that time. You were there at that time. If you are a Christian, you too were crucified with him. This is the new Steve, by the way. You can see just by looking that much nicer Steve. Maybe. The old Steve, that's the old Steve. This is the new Steve. It's done. It's finished. It's over. It's complete. I have been crucified with Christ. If you're a Christian, I hope you can say that. Well, if you are a Christian, you must be able to say that. I have been crucified with Christ. I died to the law. The only purpose of the law is to show us how much we need a Savior. Because we can never obey the law completely. However, when we become a Christian, we're told that the law is written on our hearts. So that when we do mess up, and the question isn't if you will, the question is when you will. When you do mess up, you go, what is wrong with me? And you know what that old enemy does? He gets his big sledgehammer out and hits you on the head and says, how can you be a Christian? Look at you. Look what you're doing. Look what you're saying. Look what you're thinking. All he wants to do is get us completely discouraged. I died to myself. Jesus said in Mark 7, those that would come after me must deny themselves, must take up their cross, and must follow me. That means saying no to yourself. There is a dying to yourself. When God the Father looks at Steve, he doesn't see Steve with all of his warts. He sees Christ in me. When God the Father looks at a true Christian and he looks at you, he doesn't see all those things that you may think about from time to time if you have a sensitive heart. He sees Christ in you. That's what the great exchange is all about. We give him our sin and he gives us his righteousness. I died to sin. Sin no longer. Sin no longer has to have control over me. I am not bound by it. I am not bound by it. The good thing is that Jesus himself was crucified. We are not bodily crucified. It is an inner crucifixion. It's an inner crucifixion. I have been crucified with Christ. For us, it's inside. We receive a new nature. As Christians, we want to do what Philippians chapter 2 says, to work out our salvation. Not to work for our salvation, but to work out what God has worked in. We have the responsibility of sanctification that is becoming more and more like Him. So it is an inner crucifixion for us. When I come to the Lord's table, I come to Him by invitation. If you know anything about the Gospels, and I hope you do, no one came to Christ unless they were invited. No one. Several weeks ago, we talked about the rich young ruler and how he came up running. He came up running several weeks ago on a Thursday, that is. He came running up to Jesus and he fell at his feet. So he knew who Jesus was. He knew what Jesus could do, and he asked him, "What must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus knew his heart. And he said, "Well, you know the commandments." And the rich young ruler said, "I've done all of these." And Jesus said, "Oh, then give up all your money and come and follow me." And of course, he couldn't see. He was deluded. He couldn't see himself, as sometimes we often are. We can't see ourselves. If it were today, possibly, and I said this that Thursday, if it were today, many pastors would probably say, "You know what? You don't have to give away all your money right now." See, that money was his God. That was the issue. "You don't have to give it away all. Why don't you give it away over the next 5 years or 10 years? And then you can come and follow me." But that wasn't the issue. Jesus was looking at his heart and said, you have a heart problem because your God is not God. Your God is your money. And we're told that he walked away, and we're told in the Gospels that Jesus loved him. Jesus loved him, but he let him go because he wouldn't come. So when I come to the Lord's table, when we come to the Lord's table, we come by invitation. We come by invitation to partake of these elements for what he did for us by shedding his blood, his body and blood. The bread and the grape juice should remind us of the price that Jesus paid. His wounds that were suffered when he was beaten and also on the cross, he took those with him. When I was 10 years old, I had an appendectomy. I was home for 2 weeks. The doctors thought it was a kidney problem. I had some pain back here. But actually, it was my appendix. And my mother was going to send me to school after 2 weeks. And I said, "I'm still having some little, not bad, just little jabs." So she called the doctor, and the doctor said, "Bring him in right away." I came in, and he said, "You got to take him to the hospital right away." My appendix had burst on me. And there was poison all throughout my lower intestine area and so forth and so forth. Almost died. But they left a big scar. I have a big scar down here. Left a big scar, and they left a hole with the tube sticking out to drain the poison out. And I had that in me for several more weeks. But the point I want to make, that scar is still there, and it's big, and it's ugly. When we go to heaven, and we see Jesus' hands, you're going to see those scars. He took those to heaven with him. "Do this in remembrance of me," saying. Those scars will be there. Remember, do this in remembrance of me. But that's not all. There is the past. There is that past, but there is also the present we're going to be talking about in a few minutes. You know, people's final words are often so important because they usually talk about something important in their life. I want to share with you a couple final words of people. Beethoven, his last words, "The comedy is finished." Who knows what that means? Is he saying his life was a comedy? Is he saying that life itself is a comedy? But whatever, it's his last words. Look at this one. For those of you who knew or have heard of Joan Crawford, the actress, and she was one tough lady. Look what she said. "Don't you dare ask God to help me." Okay. We know what happened with that kind of attitude. Then there's John McCain. John McCain, who died in 2018. He left a farewell letter. And I just want to read the last part of it. He said, "Do not despair of our present difficulties, but believe always in the promise and greatness of America. Farewell, fellow Americans. God bless you, and God bless America." He wanted to leave a farewell letter. Then there's Harriet Tubman. Look at her last words. Wow. What a great lady. What a great lady. Also, wonderful movie. You know, that movie, when it came out, it wasn't dubbed as a spiritual movie. It's a spiritual movie. You see a very spiritual lady there throughout. Very spiritual lady. And then, of course, Jesus' last words. He had seven of them. This was the sixth. Tetelestai. It is finished. I have completed the task for which I came. It's over. It's done. I have done what the Father sent me to do. But we're also called to remember the present. Remember the past. Do this in remembrance of me. Remember also the present. The Lord's Supper is also a living event. It's a living event. Do this in remembrance of me. The word remember biblically. Biblically, it means to transport an action buried in the past so that its original vitality is carried into the present. You have to think about that a moment. To transport an action buried in the past so that its original vitality, the original vitality of that event, is here with us. The word remember in the verse where Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," is anamnesis. And it means to recall Christ in such a way that he is personally present. I want to make sure you understand, it's not talking about that he is present in the elements. Not that. Because that's not true. But he is personally present today. And of course, if you're a Christian, you know that he's in us. He's in us. The NIV has Galatians. I think this is amazing. I don't know about you, but when I get little nuggets, I go, wow. I go, wow. I hope you go, wow. The NIV has, "I have been crucified with Christ." The King James says, "I am crucified with Christ." Did you hear that? The NIV says, "I have been crucified with Christ." It was done. It's in the past. Present perfect. The King James has, I am crucified with Christ. It's in the perfect passive indicative in the Greek. And this means it's a past event that has spiritual benefits now in the present for us. And so we can never look at the Lord's Supper as very mechanical, just go through a type of motion as such. Because it has spiritual benefits today. Steve is continuing to die. That old man in me is continuing to die. When we become a Christian, we are born again, we are redeemed, we are justified, propitiated, whichever term you want to use, because they all look at salvation from a different angle. But yet, we have stuff in us. You know that? You know how I say every so often? Every so often I say, just think if you were born with a screen coming out of your spine and everybody could see every thought that came in your head, and that screen was up here and everything you were thinking showed up. And so you meet me for the first time, you say, "Gee, what's his deal?" And I can see it. I can see you thinking that. As I've said in the past, every one of us would cover it up. But always have some kind of covering over that screen. That shows you that we need to continually be dying. We have a responsibility for that. As I said, that's the sanctification. We need to work out that Philippians, work out the salvation that God has worked in. Philippians 2. That is sanctification. We have the responsibility during the time that we have to become more like Jesus. Our job now is not only to serve Him. You see, our task isn't just to live the greatest life here that we can. Our job is to serve Him in some fashion and in the process become more and more like Him. I like to have fun. I laugh a lot. I do. I laugh a lot. I like to have fun. But yet I realize I'm here for a purpose. I'm here for a reason. Part of that is the old Steve has to keep on dying. I am crucified. My continually dying is about my living. What am I emphasizing in my life? What's important in my life? As I've said so many times, what you do reveals what you believe. What you do reveals what you believe. You're not saved by what you do, but what you do shows really what you believe. And I said this, every so often I say this, and I said this a couple Thursdays ago, but I'm going to say it again, because I like to say this a lot to show you how this works. Do you believe you should put gasoline in your car? Yeah. Do you put gasoline in your car? Sure you do. Do you believe you should eat? Yeah. Do you eat? Huh. At least 3 times a day, sometimes some people 5 or 6. Do you believe that you should wear clothes when you go outside? Yeah. Do you wear clothes? Well, maybe everybody except Lou. Only kidding. Do you believe you should pray? Yeah. Do you? Not as much as I should. Then you don't believe it. You don't believe it. You believe in the concept of prayer only. Only. It's a concept. What you do reveals what you believe. Galatians, Christ lives in me, Paul says. That means if you're a Christian, Christ is living in you. He's living in you. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ is living in me. Christ is alive in me. That's awesome. We can never, ever celebrate the Lord's Supper, Eucharist, communion. King James uses communion. We can never celebrate it with passivity. We can't. Christ wasn't only real to Paul. Christ was real in Paul. There's a difference. Maybe you're thinking, yes, Jesus is real. I know he's real. Historically, he's real. Maybe your friends think, yes, I know he's real. He's not only real to you, if you're a Christian, he's real in you. He's real inside of you. In Christ. To be in Christ. To be in Christ and Christ in you. Awesome. I am so united in Christ as a Christian. I am so united in Christ. You, as Christians, you are so united in Christ that what Jesus experienced is what we should experience. His death is our death. His resurrection is our resurrection. His living, his faith, should be our living, our faith. There should be no difference in that. I'm in Christ. Every genuine Christian is in Christ, and Christ is in them. I am organically united to Christ. You say, are you? Yes, I am. What does that mean? That means I am spiritually interconnected with Him and alive. I am spiritually interconnected with God and Christ. And it's a real connection. It's not just a concept. It's real. I am connected. And every one of us needs to be connected. Celebrating communion isn't just taking the elements as a memorial. It is about a fresh encounter with Him every time. I am crucified with Christ. There is a present aspect to it. And again, I'm not talking about Him being present in the elements. I'm not talking about that. He is not. He is not present in the elements. But look at this. 1 Corinthians 10. Talking about manna that was given. And this was the manna. Not even talking about. They all ate the same spiritual food. We're talking about manna. And drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the same spiritual rock that accompanied them. And that rock was Christ. If that was true of manna, imagine what this means for us. The spiritual food, the spiritual drink for us. Again, He's not present in those elements. But what that remembrance should do, it should strengthen us spiritually as we contemplate it, as we think about it, as we don't passively just take it and eat it and drink it. But think about that and all that it means. Otherwise, we miss it. We miss a great part of what it's all about. If you are in Christ, this is what you have. This is what you have. You have eternal life. Eternal life begins the moment you become a Christian. You don't have to die to know that you have eternal life. Eternal life, if you're a Christian, you're living in eternal life right now, theologically, an eternal relationship with God. You have a glorious salvation. You don't have just salvation, it's glorious. It's glorious. We should be smiling ear to ear all the time at the thought. Everyone knows what Christians are against. We have to start showing what we're for. Everybody thinks, the world thinks that Christians are sour-faced, like that old Steve. Although I wasn't really like that. We can't be like that if He's in us. Three, you have a rich inheritance. Maybe you want to leave your children something. If you have children, you want to give them an inheritance of something. Oh, you talk about inheritance. Wow. You have a rich inheritance. You have every spiritual blessing, Scripture tells us. Every one. You have every spiritual blessing. This one just blows my mind. You have a heavenly position seated with Him in the heavenly realms. Now! Now! You're seated with Him in the heavenlies now! You have a high calling. Oh, yes, you do. You have a high calling in Christ. It's no little tiny little calling. It's a high calling. It's a high calling. You have God's perfect righteousness. I am the righteousness of Christ if I'm a Christian. You are the righteousness of Christ if you are a Christian. You are righteous. Would you call yourself that? You say, oh, I wouldn't call myself that. Well, God does. If you're a Christian, God says you are. I don't want to argue with Him. You have freedom from bondage. I died to the law. I died to sin. I died to myself. Before we become a Christian, we're in bondage. We're in bondage. We may not think of ourselves that way, but we're in bondage. Nine, you can stand fast and firm in Christ. And we can. You have victory in Christ. You have victory in Christ. You might be sitting there thinking, Yeah, you may have victory in Christ. I don't. 1 John 5:4, for everyone born of God, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. For everyone born of God overcomes the world, overcomes the world. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What a wonderful statement to know, believe, and understand. I'm no longer living, but Christ is living in me. Every so often I tell this story. I didn't intend on telling it this morning, but it just popped in. I think I've said it so many times in the past. There were two young women that lived very wild lives. They used to go all kind of wild parties all the time. Then they got saved. And they received an invitation to another one of those wild parties. And they send it back saying, we decline to come to the party because we're dead. Their old friends probably had no idea what they were talking about. They did. They're dead. I no longer live, but Christ. Christ lives in me. During the 19th century, the 1800s, Ireland was stricken with a potato famine. Maybe some of you have relatives that maybe talked about that. And as a result of the potato famine, hundreds and hundreds of Irish people fled Ireland and came to America. Back then, there was this ship coming across with Irish immigrants. Unbeknownst to the captain and the crew, a young lad stowed away on that ship. However, as they were coming toward America, they hit an iceberg. And the ship started to sink. However, the crew got the lifeboats out and everybody got in, the lifeboats, and they began to go out, and that young lad came out on the deck and was waving. The captain saw him and he ordered his lifeboat back. He got that young lad, put him in the lifeboat where he was. He went up because there was no more room. He stood on the ship. That young lad took his place on the lifeboat, and the lifeboat started going. And the captain yelled to him, son, don't you ever forget this day. You remember this the rest of your life. You remember this. Never forget what has been done for you today. And Jesus says the same thing to us. Never forget what has been done for you through this. So that when we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, may we do it in remembrance of Him and everything that it means. And may you never forget this. This is a sermon. But it's not meant, okay, I came. May we remember this always ourselves. May we never forget the depth and the truths of what it means. Amen. Amen. Take a few minutes. Look to yourself. Ask the Holy Spirit to shine within you so that you may see what you need to confess to Him before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Take those few minutes. Maybe you've come here this morning and you have no idea what we're talking about. Maybe you've come here this morning and you've been baptized as a child and you think that's why you're going to get to heaven, because you've been baptized. It doesn't work that way. Maybe you've come here this morning and you think, well, I said a prayer 20 years ago, and because of that, I'm going to go to heaven. Scripture never teaches if you say a prayer, you're saved. What Scripture teaches, you must take hold of Christ in your life, and you must be born again. You must take hold of Him in your life. If you have questions about that, please do not leave here today without talking to me or one of the elders or Pastor Stephen. Those of you that are involved in CEF, don't forget your meeting in the new fellowship hall, the old sanctuary, immediately. And some important things to go over there. The elders will be up front here. If you have need any special prayer, they would love to pray for you, for any needs you have. Pastor Steve, will you dismiss us?
Dear Lord, we give you thanks, Lord. Like we just sang, thank you, Father, for giving us your Son. Thank you for your Spirit, Lord. We thank you that if we believe in you, Lord, our old selves are dead, Lord. Help us to truly understand that, Lord, that we are alive in Christ and dead to ourselves, Lord. Help the old us to fade away, Lord, as we become more and more like you. I thank you for this chance to worship you together, Lord. We thank you for everyone here, Lord. I ask blessings upon each and every one of them, Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, amen.